Blog Talk Radio.
C.T. Johnson Ministries presents an empowering moment with the prophet. Prepare to be empowered, enhanced, educated, and equipped by the teaching ministry of Prophet C.T. Johnson. Now let's have an empowering moment with the prophet. Well, good evening to each and every one of you. This is yours truly, Prophet C.T. Johnson, and this is an empowering moment with the prophet. Listen, I'm excited to be with you, to be back with you on this beautiful, beautiful Monday evening in March. Listen, I am in the beautiful city of Warner Robins, Georgia, and I'm not sure how beautiful it is where you are, but here in Warner Robins, Georgia, it is a beautiful, gorgeous day. And we thank God, for this is the day that He has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, I want to jump right into our empowering moment. We initiated a teaching on last week, and last week was our debut broadcast. We are back on Blog Talk Radio declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing our best to empower you with the Word of God, with the teaching aspect of the Word of God. As I often say, the only part of God's word that will benefit you is the part that you understand and apply. And you cannot apply what you don't understand. So the Empowering Moment with the Prophet session is designed to empower your thinking and change your life. And so we began a powerful teaching series entitled Tighten Up, Tighten Up. It is two words that we all are familiar with. Parents use it often. We have heard it said to us, and we have said it to those who were in our care at one time or another. And during the earlier part of the year, the Lord spoke to me as the leader of our church here in Centerville, Georgia, Empowering Word Ministries. He said to tighten up. What God wants to do with us, in us, for us, and through us within this year of 2017, it will not take place, it will not come to fruition unless we own up, unless we step up, and unless we tighten up. There are things that we must, as believers, as Christians, begin to do, hence stepping up to the plate. There are things that we need to get a grip on. Tighten up as it pertains to our giving. Tighten up as it pertains to the area of obedience. Tighten up as it pertains to our love walk. There are areas in each and every one of our lives whereby we can tighten things up regarding. Come on, say amen to that. Hallelujah. All of us have areas that are not as tight as they need be, not as tight as they should be. And so we engaged on last week on our debut broadcast pertaining to this subject. And James the fourth chapter and verse 17 is our foundational text. James 4 and 17 is where we have established this teaching. And it says in James 4 and 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Simple, but yet profound. To him that knows to do good, you know what that good work that good will of the Father is. And if we are not operating in the will of God, which is good, the will of God is the epitome of good. It doesn't always feel good, doesn't always seem good, but you must understand that the will of God is good. Amen. There is no better place to be than in the will of God. And so for those of us who know to do what the good will of God is, the perfect will of God is regarding your life, and you fail to do it, you are in sin. Why? Because to know the will of God and to avoid it, to reject it, you have erred. And that's the literal meaning of sin. It means to err. It means to miss the mark. God has a mark that he has established. He has a goal, as it were, that he has established. He has a purpose. He has a plan for each and every one of our lives that he has established, all right? And if we fail to follow suit, if we fail to obey, if we fail to remain on the path that God has established that will lead us to the fulfilling of our destiny and purpose, we have erred. We have sinned against him. And I want you to understand, and I want you to hear me clearly, the church has done good, and to a fault in some cases, we have identified sin only as drinking, drunkenness, illicit sex, things of that nature. And those are types of sins. There are various categories of sin. But the essence of sin, again, is to miss the mark. It is to err. It is to go off the path that God has set. And so James tells us that if we know the path, if we know the direction in which we should be heading down, and we go opposite, we have sinned. We have erred. All right? I can't recap too much because I want to conclude this particular teaching and get us to a certain place on today. But I explained on last week the meaning behind tighten up, explained where it came from. And if you were with us on last week, tighten up was a song. It was a song, an actual song by Archie Bell, sung by Archie Bell and the Drells, all right? Recorded in 1967 and released in 1968. That might be the year for somebody out there listening. So Tighten Up was a song, but also Tighten Up is an idiom. It is an idiom. Now, an idiom is a phrase or a fixed expression that has figurative or literal meaning. So Tighten Up was not only a song, but it is also an idiom, all right? And in the literal sense, to tighten up means to make something tighter, to make something tighter. So if you're tightening up bolts, you are making it tighter. But from the aspect in which we're teaching, tighten up from the Urban Dictionary defines tighten up simply as getting your act together, getting your act together. And so that's the aspect of our teaching as it pertains to this subject matter, tighten up. The Lord is saying to those of us who are called and chosen by him that if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be effective in the portion of the vineyard in which he has placed us, we have to be truthful to where we are in our walk with God. We have to be truthful where we are pertaining to our obedience. And once we, through the enablement of the Spirit, once we identify the areas that have loose ends, we need to get our act together in those areas. Oh, come on here. We need to get our act together. We need to tighten it up. We need to pull the reins pertaining to our love walk, pertaining to our obedience, pertaining to our giving. Are you following me? Whatever the area of life in which you need to tighten up in, this word comes to give us the strength needed to scrutinize ourselves. I hope I'm helping somebody. This word comes to give us the strength needed to scrutinize ourselves, not to condemn ourselves, but to judge ourselves in alignment with the Word of God, to see where we are. Catch this. And to see where we're not. To see where we're not. So again, James 4:17, to him who knows to do and doeth not, to him it is sin. Now, I want to recap just a little more, and then we're going to go further and conclude. One of my study Bibles has a footnote that says, sin is not only actively committing evil deeds. Sin is not only actively committing evil deeds. It is also passively failing to do what you know God wants you to do. It is passively failing to do what you know God wants you to do. And in this season, in this year of 2017, we can no longer operate passively as it pertains to our assignment, as it pertains to our mandate, as it pertains to the task that God has assigned to us. We can no longer push things to the side. Come on here. We can no longer say, I'll do it next week. I'll get to it next month. No. What God has assigned to us, if we are clear pertaining to that assignment, if we are informed pertaining to that assignment, then we need to come out of sin. Come on here. And the sin is not actively committing evil deeds. Sin is not only actively committing evil deeds, but sin is passively failing to do what we know God wants us to do. So we need to lay aside all of the excuses, tighten up in those areas that we know are loose. Because if we fail to tighten up those loose ends sooner or later, as it relates to the illustration of the loose button that I gave on last week, if you don't tighten up that loose button on that shirt, on that jacket, on that blouse, sooner or later, you're going to what? You're going to lose the button. You're going to pick up that article of clothing and find that the button has fallen off. Why? Because you neglected to tighten it up when it was brought to your attention. I'm teaching real good here. And in most cases, once you lose that button, you can go to all of the fabric stores. You can go to all of the sewing stores. In most cases, once you lose that button, you cannot find an identical and or adequate replacement. And so what ends up happening? That blouse, that jacket, that pants is deemed inoperable, as it were. You no longer wear it, whether you throw it out, whether you give it to Goodwill, but that jacket, that blouse, you no longer get use out of it because you lost an item pertaining to it. And you do not want to risk losing your anointing. You don't want to risk losing favor. Oh, I'm teaching good here. You don't want to risk losing opportunities that God has afforded, will afford, wants to afford, simply because we refuse to pull ourselves up before the proverbial mirror, be honest with ourselves, judge ourselves. For the book even says, the Bible even says, that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So there are some things that we can get in line prior to God having to assist. All right? Oh, I'm teaching real good here. So now, let's bring this teaching to a close. So again, that's the Bible footnote as it pertains to sin is not only actively committing evil deeds, it is also passively failing to do what you know God wants you to do. Now, when you look at and study the epistle of James, you come to understand that James is emphasizing duty rather than doctrine. And we talked about this on last week. I'm still recapping very briefly because we don't have much more to cover. So James talks about duty over doctrine. Duty is the responsibility or commitment, an action or task required by a person's position or occupation or function. Again, duty is an action, it's a task that is required based upon one's position and or occupation. So as believers, we have been positioned in Christ. We have been reconnected to God. We have been forgiven by God through the shed blood of Christ, all right? And so we are now sons of God. We're no longer aliens. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer bastards, but we are sons of God. If we are led of the Spirit, we are sons of God. All right, we have been put back in the place and or in the position of authority. We have the authority of God. We have the permission of God to use the name of His Son, to walk in the dominion of His Son. We have the backing of God. We have the backing of heaven. Glory to His name. And so we must understand that as Christians, we are warranted, or rather we are required, as Christians, we are required to operate and to function in certain manners because of our position. What is that position, Prophet? That position is having been reestablished in Christ, all right? As Christians, we have been repositioned. Our authority, our dominion that once belonged to us in Adam, which was stripped from him by Satan in his disobedience, okay, has been reinstated through Christ, has been reinstated. And so now we must understand that as believers, we are positioned in God, positioned in Christ. And so there are certain things we do. There are certain things we don't do. There are certain behaviors that we no longer operate in. There are certain behaviors that we no longer allow to be exemplified through us, that we no longer demonstrate, that we no longer exhibit. Why? Because of our position. Because of our position. And you must understand that there are certain duties. I'm teaching real good. There are certain duties and there are certain responsibilities that comes with this position of son. There are certain duties. There are certain responsibilities that comes with this duty of sons. And we don't perform those duties out of obligation, as it were. We don't perform those duties out of doctrine. We don't perform those duties out of a religious mandate and or out of a religious requirement, but we perform those duties out of our love for God, out of our love for what He has done for us, in us, and through us, by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. So now, James wrote to rebuke the shameful neglect of certain Christian duties because, as it was in James's day, so it is in our day. We, as Christians, we have rejected, we have forfeited the responsibilities that comes with our position. There are certain duties that we have pushed to the side because we don't feel like it, because the culture does not agree, because the culture does not undergird those duties, those responsibilities that are now deemed traditional. Listen, you must understand that God does not change with culture. Culture changes due to people. But God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am God. I change not. He said, there is not even the shadow of turning. Are you following me? God does not change. He is not fickle. He's not up and down, okay? He doesn't change based with culture. He doesn't change based with society. Even though we have evolved greatly as a society, God is not changing his word, his precepts, his principles to suit anybody. Come on, say amen to that. And so James, in his epistle, he writes to rebuke the shameful neglect of certain Christian duties. The message of James speaks especially to those who are inclined, listen, to talk their way into heaven. Doctrine, remember last week we talked about, again, James is emphasizing in his epistle duty above doctrine. We have certain responsibilities that come with our position as sons, as Christians, but we don't perform those duties based upon religious doctrine, but we perform those duties based upon our love and our appreciation for what God has done for us, all right? And so now James also begins to rebuke those Christians who were endeavoring to talk their way to heaven, thinking that if they perform certain religious doctrines and say the right things, wear the right things, and go through the motions, that they would please God. But no, James says, instead of us talking our way to heaven, we must what? We must walk our way to heaven regarding duty. You must walk your way to heaven. In other words, there is a lifestyle that we must live, all right? Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot. I don't care what this culture is saying. I don't care what this world is saying. Listen, there is, God has a way. God has a way that he has established regarding his family. And if we are going to be in the family of God, we have to do things his way. So we've got to tighten up in those areas that are loose, in those areas that we are falling behind in. Now, let's go up a few verses, or rather, let's go back a few chapters, because we're in James 4. And I want to, in my 7 minutes remaining, in James 1, and I hope I'm helping somebody. If this word is blessing you, I know we're new to Blog Talk. We're back. We're not necessarily new, but we've been off for several years and we're back. And so it's always challenging when you come back on a radio station, whether it's local or internet, even television, that you have to labor as it pertains to your audience. So those that are listening, those that will listen, whether you listen live or whether you listen to the replay, I want you to assist Prophet Johnson in getting the word out and sharing the word. I want you to post it on your Facebook. I want you to post it on your Twitter, post it on your Instagram. Go to our website, ctjohnson.org. Go to CT Johnson Ministries via Facebook, our Facebook page. And I want you to get the word out as it pertains to an empowering moment with the prophet that we're on Blog Talk, declaring and decreeing the word of God, giving you practical, simplistic, yet biblical teaching to enable you to excel in all that God has ordained you to do. Because this is your year to accomplish, but we've got to tighten up those areas that the enemy desires us to lose buttons in, as it were. The enemy wants to unravel us to the point where we're beyond repair, but the devil is a liar. Glory to God. We're going to tighten up this year in the areas that God is illuminating. Now, in James 1 and 2, he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you, let's read it here. I'm looking at my notes, but let me, I don't have the scripture written out completely here in my notes. So real quick, we only got 5 minutes left. Real quick, let's go to James 1, if I can flip there fast enough. All right, go to James 1 And two, my brother, encounter all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into various trials, James says to count it joy. And then 1 Peter 4 and 12 says that we are not to think it strange concerning the fiery trials which come to try us. He says in 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then in John 15 and 20, and I'm going somewhere, I'm just setting it up. In John 15, all right, in John 15 and 20, it says to us here, glory to God, remember the word that I said unto you, Jesus, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. He says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And then 2 Timothy, for the sake of time, I can't read it, but 2 Timothy 3 and 12, and then 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7. Now, Johnson, what's the significance of those scriptures? Joy, listen, joy is the proper attitude in meeting adversity. Joy is the proper attitude. See, when we don't understand the purpose behind trials and obstacles and situations, because we don't understand the purpose, we adopt the wrong attitude. And that's why understanding and all by getting, getting understanding. That's why understanding is important. Understanding is pertinent to our success. Because when you don't have a right understanding of a circumstance, you develop and or you adopt the wrong attitude. But as it pertains to tightening up, glory to God, we've got to understand that some of us need to tighten up in the area of our attitude. We're allowing the enemy to utilize our situations to cause us to become bitter when there's something better, catch it, that God wants to manifest in us through the situation. But you have to have right perspective. You have to have right perspective. So joy is always the proper attitude when it comes to adversity. You have to remember Romans 8:28, all things work together. It doesn't feel good. It's not always convenient, but you have to understand that when God gets through working it, all right, working it, it says all things work together. It doesn't say all things are good. It all works together for our good, but we have to allow the Lord to work it. And so we've got to tighten up an area of understanding. We've got to tighten up an area of attitude and not give the enemy ammunition to use against us. I'm teaching real good here. All right. Now, when the Bible says in James 1, count it all joy, he's not talking about an emotional, he's not talking about an emotional reaction. But listen, but he's talking about a deliberate, intelligent appraisal of the situation from God's perspective. A deliberate, intelligent appraisal. Glory to God. You've got to appraise your situation from the perspective of God and not from the perspective of your situation. And when you appraise it from the perspective of God, you come to understand that God has purpose in this, that God has blessing in this, and that if I allow him to work it, it's going to work together for my good. And so, listen, time has gotten away from us, but I sincerely trust that you have been blessed today by this word. We'll be back next week with another powerful, empowering moment with the prophet. Listen, go to our website, ctjohnson.org, to find out more. The website is still being worked on. We're uploading new information every day, but you can sow a seed right now. Go to the website, ctjohnson.org, and click on the Donate Now button and sow your seed. This is the prophet, C.T. Johnson, saying, I love you. Until next week, be empowered.